mineral rights.
So it's been incredible to observe in KZN the discovery of, okay, personally, I could see they weren't diamonds. As Naomi Campbell said about the diamonds that Charles Taylor gave her when she was visiting Nelson Mandela, dirty little stones. They were dirty little stones. They were not actually diamonds. But my guest this morning, Professor Phil Janney, is actually an expert on this and may disabuse me of this belief. Associate Professor and Head of the Department of Geology at UCT, Professor Phil Janney, welcome to Breakfast with Rufino. How are you this morning?
Very well, thanks.
Excellent. Okay, so talk to us about what we found out in KZN near Ladysmith at Gwahlathi. What exactly was happening, and what is the geological makeup of what they were finding?
Well, I'm not extremely familiar with the occurrence, but I believe what they found were doubly terminated quartz crystals, which in the U.S. where I'm from, they are sometimes called, informally called, diamonds. There's a place in New York State called Herkimer where they have these things called Herkimer diamonds, which are, again, they're quartz crystals with two pointy ends, so they look a bit like gems, and to some people they look like diamonds because they're colorless and they're quite attractive stones, but they are not diamonds.
What are
by any
they?
Stretch. They're simply a form of the mineral quartz, which is one of the most common minerals in the Earth's crust.
Ah, like rose quartz for any of us who happens to.
Right. It's just that the crystal form is a bit unusual. It's unusual to find them in such good. Normally, quartz is its crystals are not so well developed, but here they're very nicely developed into doubly pointed crystals. Mm. So in that respect, they're unusual, but no, they're certainly not diamonds. And although they have some value, they're only at most semi-precious.
So what you're saying actually makes a lot of sense, because for the most of us, the understanding that we have is that diamonds are at the heart of the South African nation, geographically. Kimberley, you know, in the middle of the Free State or at Northern Cape.
That's correct.
Mm. And then geologically, would it even be possible, for example, for something that is normally found in the heart of a country to potentially have stretched itself all the way to Ladysmith?
No, Ladysmith is a bit too far out on the periphery. So basically, diamonds are restricted to the oldest core of the Southern African continent. There's a part of the continent that we call the Kapval Craton, which is Archean in age, is older than 2.5 billion years, so extremely ancient. And all of the diamondiferous kimberlites in southern Africa are either in the Kapval Craton or in other similarly old cratons further north, like the Zimbabwe Craton.
That's powerful. So in other words, not possible on the rest of the continent, really.
No. This is something that's been fairly well known since the 1970s, where you should be looking for diamonds and where diamonds are very unlikely to occur. Mm. Now, this is only for what we call primary diamond deposits, which are diamonds coming out of the earth in their volcanic rock. There are also alluvial diamonds, like the diamonds they have on the west coast of South Africa, which are washed by rivers and deposited both in river gravels and in terrace deposits along the coast.
Mm. And there's
those are what we call secondary deposits, because those are diamonds that have been moved from their original location to a new location.
And there's a lot of offshore diving, actually, for diamonds off the coast of Namibia. So let's talk a little bit about our rights to minerals in South Africa. One of the things that kept on coming up in those particular stories that came out of Gwahlathi was that people were like, well, this is our land, and therefore these are our diamonds. Help us understand exactly how the South African mineral rights work.
Okay, well, I will first preface this by saying that I am not a legal specialist, and I am not a specialist in mineral rights at all. So everything I say, please take with a small grain of salt.
Understood.
But my understanding is that the mineral rights in South Africa, unlike in other countries, or in some other countries, the mineral rights do not come with the ownership of the property. And so if someone finds a mineral deposit on your property, they have the right to... and I'm sure there are some requirements that they have to meet, but it is possible for someone to come in and mine a mineral deposit basically out from beneath your property without your consent. And that does happen in some places. Now, in most places that I'm aware of, and I live in Cape Town in the western part of the country, in most places I'm aware of, the mineral exploration company will most often purchase the property if it's obtainable, simply to get around that and get around the bad feeling, because obviously you don't want to make enemies of the landowners and all the people around who are going to be affected by the mining activity. But I do know that there are cases, particularly in the east of the country, where there have been situations where people have basically had mineral deposits mined out from beneath their farms without their consent. And the people who own the property are entitled to fair compensation for the loss of use or the impact of that mining activity. However, as you can imagine, there's some flexibility in how those determinations are made and how the monetary damages are awarded. So it can be quite an area of contention.
Indeed. All right. Very helpful perspective. Thank you so much, Professor. Professor Phil Jani is the Associate Professor and Head of the Department of Geology at UCT.